The title of our message this morning, and if you want to be turning to Galatians 5, is Living in the Power of the Holy Spirit. We need physical strength to do the daily responsibilities of life, even to come here for worship this morning. I would rather imagine that there are some people who are not here this morning, who don't have the physical strength, maybe have some physical illness, and they're just not able to be here with us. We are taught in the Word of God as believers not to rely upon our own strength to live the Christian life, but we're taught in the Word of God to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the main idea in our time in the Word of God this morning. The passage before us reminds us that there's a struggle that goes on in our lives as believers. 5:17 of Galatians. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary one to another, so that you do not always do the things that you wish to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, it's amazing the things that we can do to please and honor the Lord. I would say if there's one verse that reminds us of the power of the Holy Spirit, it's that Acts 1:8 passage where the Lord says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth." What a wonderful promise. He sends us out into the world to share the good news, make disciples of all nations. And we saw that on the screen. One of the things that we do when we put together one of these boxes for these children, every time these boxes are given, there is the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and life as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I had the privilege of witnessing on our flight back from New Jersey to a man who's involved in an area of study that looks at our world, and it's very unique, not from a biblical perspective. And he's going to get his doctor's degree from Yale University. And I had the privilege of sharing the Lord Jesus Christ with him. And I said, "Lord, just help me to go carefully and slowly." And it was just a wonderful opportunity. I knew, and you know sometimes when you have contact with people, that it's the Lord who gives you that contact with people. And I'm still praying for the young man. He doesn't quite understand that God loves him and sent Jesus for him, that basic truth that we understand here as we gather this morning. He had a struggle realizing that if he does put his faith in Jesus Christ, would he have the power or the ability to live the Christian life? Well, we're reminded in the Word of God that yes, we do have that power, and it's given to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, the passage in front of us this morning is that passage that contains the subject of the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, verse 22, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when we look at a passage like that, we say, you know, I want these things in my life. Okay, I certainly don't want to be involved in the works of the flesh, which are mentioned in the passage just before this. I want to experience what has been called the fruitful life. A man by the name of Jerry Bridges, who works with the Navigators Ministry, very interesting ministry, wrote a book called The Fruitful Life. And some of the men in the fellowship went through that book together on Saturday mornings. The Fruitful Life. And again, it gives in that book the details. Well, what's involved with the fruit of love, and what's involved with the fruit of joy? And when you start looking at the Scriptures, you say, I want that love in my life. I want joy in my life. I want peace in my life. And the interesting thing is when he begins this book, he says, you know, these qualities are developed in our lives when we desire to pursue, and please don't miss this, pursue our relationship with God. We want our relationship with God to be strong. We want it to be growing. We want to draw closer to the Lord than we ever have before. The psalmist prayed in Psalm 42, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God." And one of the things we're learning as believers is that God wants us to enjoy His presence. He wants us to understand how much He loves us and He desires fellowship with us. So when we go through a given week, we don't spend all day on Tuesday forgetting about God and just involved in the things that we're doing. On a Tuesday, we're still in fellowship with the Lord, and we draw upon His strength, and we draw upon our fellowship with Him. In Psalm 63, verse 8, the psalmist said, "My soul follows hard after you." And the point of Jerry Bridges mentioning this is this, that out of our passion for God, out of our love for Him, will come the desire to have this fruit of the Spirit in our lives. In other words, the more you appreciate, and we're going to celebrate our appreciation for what Christ has done for us at the communion table, the more we appreciate the work of Christ in our lives, the more we're going to desire to have these character qualities in our lives, love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. Again, repeating, they come out of our desire to draw closer to God and to out of our desire to please Him. Then the Holy Spirit takes over and begins to work in our lives and allows us to become more concerned about others, having not only a love for God, but a love for people, giving us a desire to have real peace in our hearts and our lives through faith in Christ. Now, we sometimes call these character qualities. Okay, and there wouldn't be any one of us who would say, you know, I really want these qualities in my life. Okay, they are necessary. In fact, as we function in our world, we want to have the character qualities that the Holy Spirit wants to build within us. Howard Hendricks is the man who developed the leadership division of Dallas Seminary, Christian Leadership Department. And he taught us a number of years ago this, that when it comes to working with other people, in fact, if you were given a supervisor position or a position where you wanted to bring other people into your group, you would be looking for three things. This is really interesting. It really is. And there's a reason why I'm saying this. In other words, supposing you were hiring somebody to work at your place of business. You would look for three things, not one, but three. And I thought, wow, I wonder what he's going to say, because oftentimes we're looking for, well, let's start at the right one. We're looking for a person with character, right? Definitely. We as believers want people to work with, if we're in some kind of a Christian organization, with the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. But he says, you know, there's more than that when you want to work with a group of people. You want somebody to come in to work with you who has competence, the ability to perform the job. And you say, that's it, I want a man with competence and I want a man with character. But is that enough? And he said, sometimes this is what's left out, even in Christian groups, but in business organizations. I thought, yeah, this is interesting. This is worth hearing. There's something, and it's the third one that's left out, and that is, and you're going to smile on this one, chemistry. Is that person that you want to bring into your company or bring into your Christian organization a person who can work well with others? Work well. Understand the dynamics of your group or your business. And he said, those are the three that he has learned through the years that are absolutely essential when you're bringing in someone else. Well, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we certainly want to have character. We certainly want to have competence to do the things that God wants us to do. But also, we need that ability to love one another, care for one another. And all these things come as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Very interesting. Actually, there are 14 references to the Holy Spirit in the book of Galatians. And we who are here this morning have understood many times in the past that when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. Jesus said to the disciples, He dwells with you, and He dwelt with the disciples, but He shall be in you. And you know that truth really has an ability to affect the way we live. When we leave this time of worship and we get in our cars and we head home or we head somewhere else, to realize that God Himself lives within us. And the beautiful thing about that, and we're going to see that as a result of Galatians chapter 5, is not only does He live within us, He lives within us for a purpose, to empower us to live to please Him, to do the things that He wants us to do, so that we can be the people He wants us to be. It's a beautiful truth in the Word of God, the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not simply a divine influence. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. And if you've received Jesus as your Savior, when you're at work, He's in you. When you're at home, He's in you. And He's there to enable you to, by the way, have the production of this fruit in your life. A love that you might not necessarily have. In fact, you wouldn't have if it were not for the work of the Holy Spirit. Joy in your heart. Joy in the midst of circumstances that may be disappointing. Things that you'd kind of rather not see. But because you have the Holy Spirit living within you, you can have love and you can have joy and peace. You know, this morning, we who know Christ as Savior, it's absolutely amazing that God gives us the ability, living in a world, and could I put it this way, living in a country where our freedoms are just being ripped away from us, where laws are being passed for the appreciation of things that are sin against God, we say, how can our country go through such a dramatic change? And yet at the same time, we who know Christ as Savior, we can have tremendous peace of mind knowing that Christ is in sovereign control and nothing's happening to the Lord by surprise. He is with us. He will always be with us. And He will take care of us as His children. And that's great truth from the Word of God. Well, there's several things in this passage that the Apostle Paul wants us to understand. And first of all, the Holy Spirit enables us to fulfill the law of love. And that's found in verses 13 through 15. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You saw that in verse 14. We discussed that in Sunday school class this morning. It's not always the easiest thing in the world to do. You know, Jesus said, in fact, one of the hardest things for us to do as believers, Jesus said, love your enemies. Oh boy, you know, not that easy to do, especially when it's someone you see 5 days a week at work, then you see them mentally 6th and 7th day. It's not easy to do. The Holy Spirit, however, enables us to fulfill the law of love. We'll talk about it in a minute. Secondly, verses 16 to 21, Holy Spirit enables us to overcome the flesh. So He says to us, the Apostle says to us, through this passage of Scripture, if you'll walk in the Spirit, if you will live in dependence upon the Holy Spirit, you will not fulfill the sinful desires of the flesh. Thirdly, quickly, the Holy Spirit enables us to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit in our lives. Things that are done for God's glory. Now, quickly, we'll notice in verses 13 through 15 the tremendous call of the Lord in our lives. And by the way, whenever you were saved, the Lord was calling you. There's passages of Scripture that talk about the fact that we've been called to salvation. Now, just spend a little time reflecting upon the fact, for some of you, it was not that long ago, but for some of you, it was quite a while ago when the Lord called you to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that, again, was the work of the Holy Spirit. And when you responded to Jesus and realized He paid for your sins, you asked Him to be your Savior, the Holy Spirit came into your life. But He did call you. And I still remember when I was about 8 years of age, I was sitting about 3 rows back on my left-hand side on a Sunday night service, sitting next to my father. I still remember the Holy Spirit said, "You don't know Jesus as your Savior." Now, that isn't word for word what He communicated to me, but He convicted me that I was a sinner and I needed Jesus to be my Savior. And He said, the Holy Spirit said to me, "You know, you have sinned and you needed Christ to be your Savior." And the evangelist was speaking. He says, "Now, tonight, if you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, I'd like for you to do this. I want to have prayer, and then we want to have prayer with you later. Would you raise your hand?" and I raised my hand. Now, everybody who trusts Christ as Savior obviously doesn't come to a service and raise their hand. But it's amazing how the Lord will use it. This young man that I flew back from the East Coast on the plane with, a student at Yale, told me. I went to Vacation Bible Schools, and I went to a Christian camp, and I was asked to raise my hand if I wanted to receive Jesus as my Savior. And listen, I want to tell you what he said to me. I couldn't do it. Isn't that interesting? I couldn't do it. I believe the Spirit of the Lord is still working in that young man's life. He understands the gospel. He knows about the gospel. But as of right now, that is the other day, he had not asked Jesus Christ to forgive him of his sins and be his personal Lord and Savior. Well, the Holy Spirit calls us. In fact, he calls us to freedom, spiritual freedom in Christ. Did you notice this in verse 13? For you, brethren, have been called to liberty or to freedom. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity to the flesh, but through love serve one another. I want to talk a little bit about this freedom that we're called to. First of all, we are free from the guilt of sin. It is absolutely amazing when you ask Jesus to be your Savior. You say, Lord, I accept your work on the cross for me. I believe you died on the cross and paid the price, experienced death for my sin, and he forgives us of our sins. So we're free from the guilt of sin. Now, please keep in mind that Satan wants to do a number on us. And he has his way of reminding us of things we did in the past. But listen, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Absolutely free. We have a tremendous freedom in Christ. We were called to freedom. We're not trying to work our way to heaven. We're not trying to do all kinds of things, good works, in order to get to heaven. Jesus paid the price. So number one, we are free from the guilt of sin. Number two, we're free from the penalty of sin because Jesus bore the penalty for our sins on the cross. Thank the Lord. And thirdly, we are, through the power of the Holy Spirit, free from the power of sin. And this is one of the things Galatians and Romans, those two books of the Bible, want us to understand, that we do not have to live oppressed by sin. We go to the Lord who saves us from sin, and we say, Lord, here's an area in my life that I do not yet have victory over, but Lord, I want the victory through Jesus Christ, my Savior. We can be free from the power of sin. Now, Paul says, you've been called to freedom, but he gives us a caution. In the next part of that verse, in verse 13, you'll notice he says, only don't let your liberty be an opportunity for the flesh. In other words, okay, the Lord's forgiving me of my sin, and I'm on my way to heaven, therefore I can do whatever I want to do. Now we need to live to please the Lord, and we want to honor Him. Do not allow your liberty to degenerate into license. There are many people who do not understand the grace of God. These false teachers in Galatia were trying to tell the people, look, if you'll keep certain rules and regulations, then you can live the Christian life. But Christian liberty is... It reminds us that we've been set free from the bondage of sin, but because we've been set free from the bondage of sin, the Lord says now, the last part of verse 13, by love serve one another. So if you say, okay, I've experienced salvation in Jesus Christ, you know, you're going to have a desire. And you can encourage yourself with this. You are going to have a desire to help others spiritually. By love serve one another. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister or to serve. And likewise, we who know Christ and have experienced freedom in Christ, there's 19 responsibilities in the Word of God, a list about that long of responsibilities one to another. And by the way, I have those responsibilities for you, and you have those responsibilities to other believers as well. Love one another, care for one another, fellowship with one another, pray for one another. And you see, those things will be in your mind and thinking as you experience your freedom in Jesus Christ, because that's what the Holy Spirit will be reminding you of as well. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's so wonderful to realize that God loves us so much. And again, we will celebrate this at the Lord's table. That He sent the Lord Jesus, His only Son, to die and pay the price for our sin. And after we trust Christ as Savior, we begin more and more to experience the love of God in our hearts. And my heart goes out to some Christians who don't really believe and understand how much God loves them. It's just an awesome thing. Many people who are opposed to God and don't want to have anything to do with God don't understand that God loves them and sent Jesus Christ for them. So Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, you say, well, why are you kind of camping on that truth right now? Reason is because the Galatian believers to whom the Apostle Paul wrote weren't really understanding the love of God. They weren't really responding to the work of the Holy Spirit, even if they had the Holy Spirit living within them. They weren't desiring to grow in their love for God. They weren't desiring to allow the Holy Spirit to minister in their hearts. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, you'll notice it says in Galatians 5:15, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Wow. What happens when a group even of Christians begin to go after each other and don't care for each other, and the situation is it becomes bad? What happens? Well, what happens is there's not that response to the work of the Holy Spirit. There's not allowing the Lord to show us His great and awesome love, and there's not the allowing of the Holy Spirit to produce in hearts and lives love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Because when these things are in a person's life, this person is going to be able to be greatly used by the Holy Spirit to bring others and encourage others in their relationship with the Lord. The false teachers in Galatia were telling the believers there, in order to live the Christian life, you have to tame the flesh and you have to follow a list of rules. But the Apostle Paul says no. He says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You look at the passage and you say, well, I wonder why the Apostle Paul put that list of the works of the flesh in there. Adultery or fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. Wonder why he put that in there. I think I know why he put it in there. So we say, I don't, Lord, keep me away from those things. I don't want those things in my life. In fact, he says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the sinful desires of the flesh. I like what Tony Evans said. He said this, when you trust Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in, and you have an old house and a new occupant. The old house is our flesh, but the new occupant is the Holy Spirit. And the Lord has placed the Holy Spirit in our lives, and the Holy Spirit sets up a new program. The Holy Spirit says, now I want you to be loving your enemies. I want you to be loving those in your family. I want you to be loving those who don't know Christ. I want you to be praying more. I want you to be reading the Word of God. You see, the Holy Spirit comes in, but the flesh says, well, you know, I haven't done this over the years. Do I really need to read the Bible every day? And so sometimes you'll find that there's a conflict. It says the flesh lusts against the Spirit. And sometimes you'll say, do I really have to do this? But we have to discern, is this what the Holy Spirit is prompting us to do? And again, it's only the Holy Spirit who enables us as believers to overcome old patterns and old cravings and old appetites, which we call the flesh. And He'll do it. If you say, Lord, you know, these works of the flesh, I don't want those in my life. I would love to have in my life the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Quickly, the fruit of the Spirit, and the first one given is love, because obviously that is vitally important to be seen in our lives. Love for God and love for others. Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." There was a tragic story in our local paper this past week of in a church setting, there was some church discipline going on, and a boy was beaten. Anybody read that? Anybody read that story? That was awful. And I'm going to tell you something. It was not the work of the Holy Spirit. It was the work of Satan. Jesus said, "Satan comes only to kill and destroy." Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life. I have come that you might have life." When the Holy Spirit is in control, there will be love and life. There are nine graces that are listed. I'm just going to mention these, and then we're going to pull it all together. Love, joy, and peace. This deals with our relationship with God. Our first love should be for God. We should enjoy God. Remember we said that Jerry Bridges, when he wrote about the fruit of the Spirit, he said, okay, if you want the fruit of the Spirit in your life, look at the fruit of the Spirit, but remember, you will have that desire for the fruit of the Spirit. The more you desire to grow in your relationship with God, the more your love for God grows, the more you have a passion for Him as the deer pants for the water brooks. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. These virtues deal with our relationship with others. And we should say, Lord, and I've heard people say, don't pray for patience, because when you pray for patience, what might come? Tribulation worketh patience, the Bible says. But we shouldn't be afraid to pray for patience, right? Although I'm not going to do it today. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. That's our relationship with others. They're beautiful. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these virtues focus on our inner being. When we keep our commitments, we are faithful. When we act with humility and an attitude of serving others, there's that gentleness. When we exercise self-control, when we say, Lord, give me the self-control that you want me to have, then there's the no to the temptations of the flesh. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit of God. It's been well said. Being filled with the Spirit of God has nothing to do with how much of the Spirit you have, but has everything to do with how much of you the Holy Spirit has. So we give all the areas of our lives to the Lord. And we say, Lord, work in this area. Lord, work in that. I submit myself to you as my God and my Savior. You know, you'll hear sometimes people say things like, I have Holy Spirit power. And there's all these things that are happening. But I'm sincere as I mention this to you. If you want to see the work of the Holy Spirit in people's lives, you will see things like this. And I just jotted some things down. A believer who forgives someone who has been deeply wronged by someone else. There's the work of the Spirit in that person's life, right? A young couple who commits to sexual purity before marriage and waits until the marriage relationship. A man or a woman who honors his wife or her husband and is faithful to them. There you're going to see, in believers, the work of the Holy Spirit. A mom or a dad who is patient and kind. Not like those ones we read about in the paper who were beating on their son. And by the way, one of the two sons died. A mom or a dad who realizes that the son or the daughter, the children, make mistakes and they mess up. But they pray for them, they work with them, they pray over their discipline, and they agree together as a mom and a dad. This is what's going to be best for our children. There you see the work of the Holy Spirit in believers' lives. Let's pray together.